All right, we are back, and we're back. Yes, that's right, we are back. This is Dave the Clone, this is the Hollow Knight Network, and yes, you are not mishearing the internet. Don't adjust your antennas, which you younger listeners out there don't even know what I'm talking about, but what was it? The best laid plans of mice and men are often torn asunder. So yes, that one, that's the one that's more correct, that's life. As we know it. So without further ado, from me to you, welcome to 2020, and here we go, picking up right where we left off with the October 2019 New Jersey Horror Con. Just our way of saying welcome back to the fold, and by the way, the Hollow Knight Network can now proudly boast that we are a lifetime sponsor of this biannual event. That's right, every single New Jersey Horror Con from now until infinitum, we will be there with a table set up live, doing our thing, having a blast, and talking to awesome people like this. So, sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. And can't say that we didn't come by and say it was all right. I don't know what I'm doing. I knew it's good to say hi to everybody. Welcome back and Happy New Year. Enjoy. We are back. Here we are at the Hollow Knight Network on day three of October 2019's New Jersey Horror Con. I don't even know. I keep saying last year, and it was really 4 months ago. This
right.
two a year throws me all the time. And I'm sitting with a familiar pal of mine, Todd Staruch, and he's got his partner Mark here with him, and they're going to tell us a little bit about some of the stuff they got going on and some of the stuff they've been seeing here, because like us, Todd is a machine, and you guys have been all over the place talking to everybody. You got a whole camera crew with you and everything. Mm-hmm. It's like everybody keeps stepping up their game every year. I love it. So tell us a little bit about what the con's been like. You guys are here promoting stuff too, right?
So we're kind of doing double duty. So my good friend here, Mark Boutros, has been running camera for me all weekend. And so Mark, I hate to tell you this, but Christine is a much sexier camera operator than you are. So I think she might be in charge from now on.
Oh, wow. Just happened live on the air here for us.
But then, Todd, when you do the interviews, you're going to be doing this. And
that's true. Yeah. She just put on the glasses, and so if I seem distracted, that's why.
We'll rein you back in. Yeah, man. Right. That's what my job is as the host and interviewer. So that way you'll know what's going on when you're doing interviews with people, and they're like, "Hey, dude, I just answered your question." Okay. Anyway, so in addition to getting distracted by all the shiny things walking around, you guys have your own film projects to promote, and you also have been capturing all the action. Where do you want to start? I always like to let people kind of get their thing first and say, hey, what's your promotion thing? Let's get people thinking about it at the beginning of the interview, and then we could come full circle after we talk about some other cool stuff.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so thanks. First of all, thanks for giving us, a few minutes.
Course,
you always
man.
Give us a great outlet for us to share
Absolutely.
Our work, and we appreciate that. So,
big fan over here,
I've been very busy, and busy is good, and I'm proud that we just finished shooting principal photography on my very first short film that I wrote and directed called The Bonds of Friendship.
Congratulations. I love
thank
the,
you.
Deep, the deep title. When I saw the post on Facebook, I'm like, Todd, man, from Theater of Terror to this. It's like, hey,
right?
Who would have known? But go for it. Tell us more about it.
So, again, Mark Boutros here was our cinematographer. And the movie stars myself and another familiar name, Tom Ryan.
Nice. Wow, man. Getting him in front of the camera again.
Yeah. And I also want to give a shout out to Alfredo Morales, who ran sound for us. So it's obviously it's a small crew. So I'll just give a quick summary. The Bonds of Friendship is about two lifelong friends who are basically criminal thugs.
Nice.
And they finally have this big score that they've been dreaming of their whole criminal career. And it's a significant amount of money. And like
so
I
the
said,
retirement score. This pretty, is, that's it. We're out of the country.
More
after
or
this.
Less, yeah. And it's this big score, and like I said, they're lifelong friends. But there's an event that happens that causes one of the friends to turn on the other.
Oh no!
So the theme of the movie is what could happen that could cause one best friend to turn on the other.
Wow.
So we are in post now.
Okay.
You know, and it was very challenging. You know, people look and sometimes say, oh, well, this is easy. I could do that. And I'm like,
oh, yeah.
You know? Especially directing and then acting in the film and trying to switch back and forth.
I was
going to
ask, you know, I mean, Mel Gibson made a big thing of doing that in the 90s with his Braveheart win, you know, and it was always in my mind something to, like, how would you do something on that epic scale? Like, all right, we just shot that. Now let me go watch it again. All right, now let's shoot again. I mean, is that, tell me a little bit about what that process is like being on both sides of the camera.
Well, I give people who do that a ton of credit because mine is like a 7-minute film, you know, and just having to walk over to Mark and check the shot and look at the lighting and everything and figure out all the technical aspects and then have to get now in front of the camera and get back into character and remember my lines.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. It was very difficult for me. It was very challenging. I feel that I, you know, flubbed lines a lot because I was thinking about what Mark had just said about the lighting or whatever. So I give people that a lot of credit. So, like I said, a 7-minute short versus like a Hollywood epic.
Yeah.
But one thing I will say, we were a crew of 4 people.
Uh-huh.
Mel Gibson has hundreds and thousands of, you know, people
and
to help
of
him.
Right. To burn. Like, hey, just bring the whole Scottish army over.
Right. So I'm sure he's got a script supervisor, like all these people to help him do it. But
well, what was it like from your perspective, Mark? How did Todd do? How did he do taking your direction when you needed him to move for the lights and taking his own direction and setting up the shots? What's it like when you're the DP and the director's both in front and behind the camera?
I'm never talking to Todd ever again.
Promise?
Uh-oh. What happened? What do we not know? What's left on the cutting room floor? That epic, you have a what's his name? Who's the guy who played Patrick Bateman? All of a sudden, I can't... His name is...
Christian Bale.
Christian Bale tape. You have a Christian Bale
moment.
Dude, of course, when I'm going to need to use that.
I have to say, though, Todd did an excellent job. But so the part of the concept was, you know, let's write something that we can do and not go crazy with the budget.
Mm-hmm.
And so from a technical point of view, I said, hey, let's, like, really do this. I have a little bit of a kit, but let's not use it. Let's go to Home Depot.
Right.
Let's get some, let's go to Michael's, you know, Arts and Crafts, and let's build some stuff.
Yeah.
And make it as DIY. I mean, it is DIY. I mean, it's not like, you know, I have, like, a Hollywood truck or anything.
Yeah, but practical effects, man, that's where it's at. That's the home of the origin of all this is practical effects.
But also the way we shot it, it was, it led to, I think, a lot of the art of it. So it was done mostly, I don't want to give anything away, but it was done in a room.
Mm-hmm.
It was really written like a one-act play.
Nice.
And the drama is really between the two characters, is between a dialogue and just, you know, even a couple of revisions to the script to draw out the character's history.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just great. And it reminded me, like, you know, I mean, it's a very different movie, but thematically there may be some similarities there, too. The movie called Tape with Ethan Hawke from years ago.
Oh, my God. I love Tape. I know people, I've heard podcasts where they just decry the hell out of that movie. Like, oh, my God, I'm watching Tape with Sean William Scott or whatever. The kid from isn't it the kid from E.T. is the other kid in there? Who's the something Sean Leonard something. I forget what his name, but it's this weird improv movie directed by Richard Linklater, who's one of my favorite filmmakers.
Right.
So I give it anything Richard does, I kind of give that. It's gonna be cool, even if it's boring at times or whatever. But
well, so this wasn't so it's not Todd's movie was not boring at all. But like it actually reminded me a little bit of that and brought me back there, like some of the human drama and the simplicity and how to really get that drama in a very simple way from a technical point of view, but also from, you know, storytelling and movie point of artistic point of view. I love that. I think he did a great job. There's a couple little pieces at the end. I think we still got to film some pickups on that.
Oh, wow.
But,
a little bit.
But
it never ends.
You know, no.
And no project is ever completed. Yeah. It's only abandoned in a certain state, right?
Well,
pretty much,
I mean, but Todd did a great job. And we did it in a day. We were on schedule.
Oh, wow.
You know, and nice. We shot a whole movie basically in a day with maybe a few hours of pickups. And
hey.
Congratulations, man.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Absolutely. Well, that's, you know, it's funny because, like, when we showed up and we started getting the table here and we wanted to do interviews with people, I'm like, you know, it's crazy because we're all producing and we're all doing things that in our day job we probably wouldn't even be seen by our coworkers as, you know, Todd produces movies on the weekends, you
right.
know what I mean?
Right.
And not
that's
just
exactly
movies like,
happens.
Hey, it's a kid running around with a video camera. It's like Theater of Terror. It's, you know, The Bonds of Friendship. And I hear there was another project that grew out of a crowd of guys more known for blood and guts, and they had something that hits you right in the heart and makes you laugh at the same time. So tell me a little bit about this rom-com made by a bunch of horror guys.
So, go for it, Mark.
Yeah, so I'll start. You know.
Was that a good segue?
Was a great segue.
Wow.
I should win an award for that.
Right.
So good, I can't even talk about it.
So Dutch is romantic comedy. It's a real life story of me dating and ultimately meeting my wife.
Oh, nice.
And, you know, I originally wrote it as a goof. It was our 10th wedding anniversary. I'm like, oh, I'm going to write something, get some friends and goof around. And I wrote the script and I'm like, you know what? This is kind of funny. I thought it was pretty funny.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, maybe I should do this for real and cast it and get some help with it. Todd is a great producer and a friend of mine. So I said, hey, Todd, what do you think about this? Do you mind helping me make this? And I think you liked it, Todd. and it came out great. So we cast in the lead role of the female lead, the Lisa character. It's an actress named Angela Oh, and she's all over TV and in film. She was
kind of familiar, actually.
Yeah. She was in The Gifted. She was in Conan, and she did a very funny bit for him. She was in a movie called, which a lot of people haven't seen, but I like it, Middle School, The Worst Years of My Life.
I haven't seen it yet, but I'll check it out recommendation. You
know? I thought it was very funny, and it was just kind of a weird target. It was kind of like an Animal House for a middle school crowd, so it's kind of like a weird, like, you know, maybe from a marketing point of view, but I thought it was a very funny movie, and she was in that. It was great. The whole cast was great. Scott was great. Scott Gorbach was in The Bookworm. Sarah Schuf's also from The Bookworm.
Sorry, Sarah, I totally just butchered your name. It's day three. All right, it's day three. I'm lucky I'm on
it's
my feet.
It's been a long weekend.
Danielle Najarian. I mean, it's like everybody, like Patrick Devaney. I mean,
the old band got back together.
Yeah, so
well,
it's
that's what's cool about you guys is you have a gang. You know what I mean? Like, you guys have like a pool of players that like to just all hang out and work on the same things together. So it's almost like when you look at like how Judd Apatow has his regulars that are in everything, like the theater. I'm just calling you guys the Theater of Terror crowd because that's how I was introduced to you. I don't know if you guys might have a project you all worked on that might be your origin project where you're like, well, really, the Faces guy.
I don't know.
Well,
I met Patrick in college like years ago. I mean, I met Patrick on a BBS, like, you know, before the internet. Yeah. I was like homesick and we just started chatting on some Star Trek BBS or something.
Oh, billboards? Yeah, is that what we're talking about? And that's what they were called.
Billboard system. Yep.
So if you remember that.
It was before people had Facebook pages, before MySpace, before Friendster, before it all.
And then it turned out that we went to the same school together. We had the same friends together, we ate at the same lunch table in the cafeteria together, we never met. So I've known Patrick for well over 25 years, and we started working on a project called Zombie Hunters.
Uh-huh.
And so Zombie Hunters was how I started working with Patrick, and then I heard about some weird zombie guy that wanted to do his first zombie movie called Day 9, and
that was Tom Ryan,
and then I got involved with Tom and met Todd through Tom.
All right. And now you guys have, are you guys planning another project already after the, I guess we show Bonds of Friendship and the rom-com? Is the rom-com Dutch, is that showing yet? Is that still in post?
It's showing. We have a private screening, in quotes, October 19th at Grace Lutheran Church in Union, New Jersey.
Okay.
It's in festivals. It just showed Sean O'Shea in Massachusetts. And, you know, we're hearing back now. I just wrote a vampire short that I like that I don't know, I think it was pretty good and I liked it so much I killed it and I made it I want to do a turn it into a series, a 6-episode web series.
Nice.
It's a lot of fun. Todd has, you know, Theater Terror 2 coming up. So
maybe you should
talk about that.
Are you allowed to talk about that?
I guess.
Well, it's not a secret that you're in production,
yeah,
right?
I mean,
you know, after you watch Theater Terror 1, how do you not expect a Theater of Terror 2 to be on the way?
Listen, Tom can be as mad as
Theater
he wants
Theater of Terror,
to be,
second showing?
Just real quick, I'll be just the running joke with Dutch is that it suddenly occurred to us that like everybody involved in the movie is known for horror, mm-hmm. and we all got together to make a romantic comedy. So it's like, how the hell did this happen?
Like David Lynch making that, you know, PG-13 movie he did.
Yeah, yeah. But I have to say, like, it was a lot of fun being a producer. It did come out really well, and
cool.
The script was very funny, and there were times where we're filming, and I said to Mark, all right, come on. Like, did this really happen, like, when you met your wife? And he said, well, I wrote a movie. So I kind of embellished it and dramatized. But, yeah, like, for the most part, like, this is how it went. And real life, you can't make it up.
It's the best source. It's the stranger than fiction effect, right?
Exactly.
That's the kind of stuff that's always, you're, like, watching a movie going, that kind of probably did happen to somebody. But I know somebody that even crazier stuff happened to that they won't believe. All right, well, what can you leak about Theater of Terror 2? And then do we have to send Tom an email to ask him if I can post this? Or
No, it'll be fine. So, listen. I am working with Tom, you know, on our next project, and we thought about what we were gonna do, and we had a couple of short scripts that we liked, and we just bandied about ideas. So I will say this: we're leaning in that direction to doing a follow up to the Theater of Terror. The reception for the movie was really positive, and it's been doing really well. So. But we're really in the beginning stages of it, you know, so that's, I'm not really not giving any information. That's really where we are.
I hear you. Sorry, Tom.
No, it's all good.
Like, just know that you have some diehard fans of the Hollow Knight Network who are going to not only be at that premiere, but are going to be covering every time we see you. We're going to be asking, all right, dude, what's going on with the sequel?
Of course.
Where are we?
Course.
How many stories this time? Are you squeezing
totally
a fifth one in? Is that what's going on? Is there Creepshow 2? What are you doing, dudes? What are you doing? Well, we definitely can't wait. That's awesome. I mean, I remember when I showed Theater of Terror to my girlfriend for the first time and how blown away she was, not only because I'd been hyping it up all this time and saying, like seriously, I saw this movie. I met the guys at HorrorCon 2 shows ago. And, I mean, when I saw the premiere, I was totally blown away. And you guys did not fail to deliver. When she watched it, she was equally as impressed. And I felt really good that I didn't ruin the experience by going, it's amazing. And it turns out to not be. Like, sometimes you get that effect. Not with these guys.
You've heard of Gone with the Wind?
Yes.
Forget about that.
Exactly. You know,
can I just say?
DreamWorks wants to talk to these guys.
It is really good, right? Yeah. So I shot the Bookworm, so I did work on it.
Nice.
But and my favorite was not the Bookworm, even though I think Bookworm was great. My favorite was Abducted.
Abducted was amazing. And Endangered is like, was awesome.
Yeah,
too.
they're all good, right?
Solid,
the gift. I mean, like every single one, it just knocks it out of the park. And I think Tom did a great friggin' job. I mean, it's fantastic. And people that watch it. You know, so how I know something is good is if my wife likes it, right? You know, because
that's
like
a litmus test. All right, hey.
So it's like because she does
make
not
sure the right people are taken care of.
She
man.
Does not like the genre. She does not like horror. She does not like sci-fi. And she watches like, that was really good. It's like, okay, so now I know it's good. So.
Yeah. You guys know how to tell stories very well, and the pictures are beautiful. And the fact that you guys also were instrumental in saving that theater in New Jersey with shooting it and having it be part of the project. You have so many things going on with that project, and so it has to live on in the form of another piece, in my opinion. So I will.
Well, we'll see what we can do about that.
I will be all over you to keep us surprised of when we can expect more.
Awesome.
All right. Well, what have you guys seen so far at the HorrorCon this year that's standing out to you? What's the standout experience? Positive experiences. I know sometimes there's always a little bit of a ruffling of feathers when we're trying to get some interviews with people, and it doesn't always go our way.
I want to start with the negative, right?
Go for it.
And this is just like a little bit of etiquette.
Another
for
good
people.
Segue.
If you see somebody filming, don't walk in front of the camera. I mean, it's just a
that
very simple.
Oh, you mean
thing.
The guy who is just
well, it's not. It's not. If it was a guy, I would not say anything. Mm. So today, especially, I think I stopped about 6 people. Christine stopped about 4. You know.
Yeah.
I mean,
Even right now, when they were like, "Hey, do you want to buy the booth next year?" I'm like, "Hey, if you stop ruining our shot right now."
So that's, I just have to get it off my chest.
You see the light, right? Yeah. It's not coming from the window.
Yeah, people are just oblivious, yeah. You know? That's why people fall into manholes in Atlantic City.
But there's a whole atmosphere going on here, though, you know?
I didn't mean to be Debbie Downer. I still have to get that. It's a confessional for me.
All right, well, let's have some good stuff to balance that out, then. What's some of the standout good stuff that you guys had?
Well, the convention was great. You know, when I heard that it was moved because Netflix is shooting a movie here at the Showboat, I said, well, this can go one of two ways. Yeah. It's either going to be a complete CF, or it could go well. And I think it went really well. Like, under tough circumstances, Ryan Weber and his staff really made it work.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any complaints. I mean, there were a lot of great vendors. The guest lineup was really good.
Yeah.
We had a million positive experiences. I mean, Claudia Wells was incredible.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Diane Franklin is always a great interview. Today we met, we had a great chat with Mimi Craven.
Who
gave us some great insights. Yeah.
Who I'm still in love with. So.
Yeah, and dude, I don't blame you. Like, and when she said she was, 65 years old? Yeah, I was like, shut up, you are not.
We actually, Leslie Easterbrook came over to our table and did an interview with us yesterday.
Yeah.
And I mean, talk about almost a religious experience.
Right?
You know, and she was just so, like, it was just the energy and the vibe of, like, she was glowing.
Yes.
And I kind of get the feeling that happens a lot at this show. You know, the celebs who come. I mean, we had some prime real estate. We were right next to the ramp to Charlie Sheen and Christina Ricci all weekend.
Right.
So lots of people were swinging by, grabbing swag and glow sticks off of our table and stuff. And it's that kind of stuff that you're not going to get at, like, New York Comic Con or San Diego Comic Con.
Exactly.
At the shows that have gotten so big that they have to keep everybody away. The intimacy is still here. And then you get to meet awesome friends that you get to kind of keep running into and keep apprised of what's going on and go to their premieres in Jersey City in January and then see them again at the next show. And it becomes a nice little reunion a couple times a year. So it's always good to run into you guys. And we hope we keep seeing you as we keep coming back to the New Jersey Horror Con and Film Festival. Are you guys going to have any films showing in the next one, you think? Is there anything we can look forward to on that front for a possible appearance when we run into you again?
I don't know. My film isn't really a horror film. It's more of like a crime thriller, so we'll see. I do want to say this before we sign off. I do want to give a big thanks to my crew for the weekend. So Mark Boutros here tirelessly ran around with the camera, and I pulled him in a million different directions. And Christine Von C, who's behind the camera right now, was amazing helping out as well. Nobody can do any of this by themselves, Dave, as you know. So I could never have pulled off all of this without these guys.
I should throw in thanks to my
assistant
partner, Scary Carrie, for the weekend while we're throwing thanks around, because it's been a whole new level of involvement for her.
Yeah,
she just came on at the last show. So.
And I just want to mention, since we're all stroking each other, Todd, you did a fantastic job.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Todd gets it done. You know, every time I'm like, all right, we might get one or two interviews with some celebs, and then we'll grab some interviews with the filmmakers. Todd's like, all right, I just hit everybody. And I'm like, all right, dude, well, we got to team up next time, because I don't get that access. I think I'm a pretty nice guy, but whatever. Well, anyway, man, always great to run into you guys.
Absolutely.
Always great to follow you guys on Facebook. Where do people go to find out more about what you've got going on? Where can people keep track of you in between our running into you and keep apprised of what's going on with Bonds of Friendship and Dutch?
I'm a social media whore, so I mean, I'm not that hard to find. You can go to my website, horrornerd.net, although I have neglected it horribly of late. But you can find me on social media under my real name, Todd Staruch, Staruch, or The Horror Nerd, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. I'm pretty much everywhere. I'm not difficult to find.
For me, you know, I don't have a separate page for Dutch, but at Radio Boutros, and radio is how I started out, by the way. So I love podcasts. So thanks for doing what you're doing. At Radio Boutros on Instagram and Twitter.
Awesome. You guys out there, we're going to link all that in the show notes. But keep your eye on these guys. They do awesome work. Them and our other buddies, Tom. I'm sure we're going to be catching up with the Theater of Terror crew and every iteration that happens. But keep your ears here at Hollow9.com for more as the day winds down on day 3, October 2019, New Jersey Horror Con.
listening to the Hollow Nine Network, bringing you the very best in fan-made media. That's the word hollow, the number 9, I-N-E. Now broadcasting from our new home on the web, hollow9.com, where you can find info on all of our awesome programming as well as the team behind the shows. Leave us your feedback, join in the conversation, and be a part of the action. Find the Hollow Nine Network on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. Rate and review us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or wherever you find your podcasts. Email us at info@hollow9.com or at hollow9podcast@gmail.com. Join in the fun. Hollow Nine.
The rom-com that Mark and I did is called Dutch.
Okay.
And, you know, obviously I'll let him talk about that. But sure. That one is funny because it's like everyone who worked on it is known for horror.
Yeah.
We all got together and did a romantic comedy.
Uh-oh. Time to change the battery.
Yeah.
Love battery changing.
Yeah.
It really reminds you, like, oh yeah, this thing is happening.
Wow, it's almost I'm not watching what he's doing. I noticed the glasses that Christine is wearing. So.
Yeah. They have that bad teacher effect.
Right. I am easily distracted by shiny objects.
I hear you, man. No shortage of that.
Here. Yeah, oh God. So I found out a bit of movie trivia today. So.
Oh, did you go last night to the movie trivia thing?
No.
Do you ever go to what Chris does? I never made it, and every year I tell him I'm going to be there, and I felt like such shit last night.
I need to bring more people next time because
my whole thing.
I can't cover everything. Mm-hmm. So, like, we went from doing interviews to covering the cosplay contest to covering the film awards.
Oh, wow. Nice, dude.
So it's like I need to bring another whole setup, you know? And
it's getting to be like DIY is becoming more and more like a real production, level production every day.
And it never occurred to me. Like, I just started doing this for fun, and it never occurred to me it would grow to what it is.
Yeah, I apologize. I don't have another mic with a boom stand or a stand with a boom on, Ronnie. You just have to kind of lean into it a little bit there, man, and just so, try not to kick it because it has a little bit. Oh, let me turn you up, too. Let's
How close you had?
Oh, yours is that mic I have cranked so that like you don't have to be that close to it. So you don't have to. I remember when Tom was doing an interview, I had him on that mic stand and he kept kicking it, and I'm like, yeah, that stand's a little on the don't kick me side of things. It's had some miles on it, you know what I mean? So,
So
I can just count us in. We've got about 2 minutes of behind-the-scenes kind of promo bonus stuff that might get thrown in somewhere.
Okay, cool.
I don't know. I used to do a clip show of shit like that where when I had people recording. We had some changes at the Hollow Nine Network recently, like mass firing by me just to clean the decks out and start some things over.
But I hear that.
When we had a lot of shows going, there was always all this gold at the beginning before we would actually get officially rolling. And I'm like, we should just make a whole show of that. So I want to go back to that, but, it, you know, obviously I have to start collecting.
Dave, two things. One, if you're going to sync it up, can I just...
Yeah, do a clap.
Do that. And then the second thing, can you turn my headphones down just a tad?
Down?
Down.
Yeah, sure. The guy who was there yesterday had a mask on over his whole head, and he needed me to crank it all the way up so he could even hear us, but I forgot to
turn it back
down.
You know, you are the voice of God, but...
I try. So are you good now?
I am good.
Okay, cool.
All right,
so I'll count us in so it's a little more official, or I could just jump in and be like...
It's not easy butchering people. It's hard work. You know, there's a lot more like me.
We're talking to serial killers.
Serial killers!
New terminology.
Are criminals born, or are they formed?
How do we get ahead of crazy if we don't know how crazy thinks?
It's easier to ask for forgiveness than for permission.
Welcome to the Hollow Nine Mindhunter Podcast.
Hey Hey, this is David Clone from the Hollow Nine Network, just checking in saying, hey, what's up to all our Radio Haver fans listening to us from all around the globe. We want to thank you for all of the live streams during our programming, and a big thanks to Drew Carson for giving us the slot. We've got some renovations going on at the home base at hollow9.com. Pretty soon, it's going to have a whole new look and feel, so just get ready. Until then, keep rocking over at Radio Haver.